Gamers, trainers, Pokemen, thanks for joining on another episode of Pokemen's Health. I am here with our guest, Tapo Wapo. Tapo, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Thank you so much for having me here. Sunday, it's a great day. It's beautiful outside. Nothing to complain about.
Yeah, awesome, man. No, thank you so much for being on. Excited to chat with you, learn a little bit more about you. Folks, just a reminder to give the podcast a follow, share it with somebody you love who you think might be interested in having these conversations, seeing the perspectives, point of views of other men and how they've come up, especially other men in our Pokemon community here. Without further ado, let's get into it a little bit with Tapo here. And Tapo, man, can you introduce yourself to the audience, a little bit about yourself, like how old you are, where you're from, and what do you do for a living?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Tapo Wapo. I'm a Poke Dad, so I'm a father. I'm married as well. I have a beautiful wife, a beautiful son. Currently 31 years of age, just turned 31 on Christmas, so not even 2 months ago. And yeah, I'm actually originally from Long Island, New York. Grew up in one of the few cities in Nassau County in Long Island. But now I actually live two states over in Pennsylvania, somewhere in the mountains. So
Oh wow, dude, that's super dope. That's super dope. What brought you there?
Love.
Yeah.
I lived in New York all my life. I lived in Long Island for almost 2 decades, and then I lived in New York City for almost a decade. And then I found my wife and we linked up during lockdown, and she lived two states away, and I didn't mind leaving New York at all. A change of pace. I decided to move over two states over, buy a house, and yeah, now we're settled down and we have a kid together, and all's well.
That's beautiful, dude. That's super inspiring. I love a lot of love. I feel like I noticed a lot of love come out of the pandemic for all its challenges. It's very beautiful that you met your wife through it. So good stuff, dude. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your experience in Pokemon. First off, how did you get into it in the first place? And how do you currently engage with the community?
Yeah, so I've actually been a fan of Pokemon for quite a long time. I think the first time I ever played any Pokemon was, I think, on my 7th birthday in Christmas of 1999.
Yeah.
I just turned 7, and I had the original Game Boy. I'm talking like the one that's like a gray, huge brick, and you have to put like 4 batteries in it. And it didn't even have color. It was just like a dark green on the screen. Yeah, so that's what I had. It was my sister's. I had Pokemon Red. I played it pretty casually all my life. It was like sort of like a cycle thing. So what I mean by that is, a new generation of Pokemon would come out. I'd be super enthused with it. I'd play it like religiously for like the first 2 months. And then I just get bored and I'm just like, all right, I'm done with Pokemon, for the next 3 years or however long it takes for the next generation to come out. And this became like a cycle for actually a very long time, right? But I knew about like EV training and like IV breeding since I think generation 6, so since 2013. But even then I really didn't get into VGC. I mostly just played like singles online, and then same thing, got bored, didn't touch it again. But what got me I got into VGC officially in 2020. It was during the summer. I was just bored one day, and I tuned into the Pokemon stream, and they were having this thing. It was called Players Cup, during Sword and Shield, and it was like the first official like online tournament being held by the Pokemon company. And I don't know what drew me to it, but I got drawn to it, and I just started watching religiously. And then afterwards, I started watching a whole bunch of VGC streamers as well. Back then, I'd watch them like almost like every day. And then like a few months later in the fall, I'm like, you know what? I feel like I can play just as well as any of these guys can. I'd like be watching them, and I'd be thinking to myself, no, don't do that play, because your opponent's gonna do this, and then their opponent does exactly what I predicted. I'm like, yep, I knew it. Right, but that. The same thing probably happens to me all the time now with like other viewers, but yeah, like that just like put the idea in my head, like, hey, if they could do it, I can do it. So that's pretty much what got me. That's what got me like into VGC, and then eventually into, streaming as well. So.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's what's up. And you are definitely on the rise as a streamer, right? Your views have been going up like crazy. Has that been like recently in the last few months, or have I just started to be noticing that? Because I see you share about it on Twitter and whatnot. How's that growth been?
So to be honest, I was honestly streaming to the void for probably 3 years, from 2020 up until like mid 2023. Like, I just streamed to either one or no viewers. Sometimes if I'm lucky, I get like maybe two or three. And that's just, that was just a thing. But I didn't let it get to me, because part of the reason why I stream VGC is because I can only play like the ladder when I'm like streaming. I realized that, I realized like, there were like some days where I'd be like playing VGC like offline, like not streaming. And yeah, I'd like rage, and I just like wasn't playing like optimally because I was raging. On stream, I can control myself. So I sort of like thought to myself, like, hey, if I'm gonna play VGC, like, I need to stream, right? Like, I can't be like screaming and cursing when I'm playing. And streaming helps prevent that. And it really does. Like, obviously sometimes I'll still get mad, but it's not nearly as bad as like when I'm like playing offline. And honestly, I haven't played VGC, I haven't played the in-game ladder offline for well over a year, almost coming on 2 years now. So but yeah, no, that's basically what I did, right? Like, I didn't even think about like the viewers. I just thought, I just want to play Pokemon, right? And I can't do it unless I'm streaming. But I just kept playing, I kept playing, and then one day in June, I think it was like around the time of NAIC, I was like streaming during the morning, because I know no one's gonna like no one would watch me like in the afternoon or like later that day, right? Because like NAIC would be like an all day thing. So I'm like, let me just get in a stream before NAIC happens. And out of nowhere, I'm getting like 20 to 30 viewers. Like, and that was like the first time that ever like happened, like without raids. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then eventually, like a few weeks later, I started streaming like midday during the weekend, and I noticed like I noticed I get a lot of viewers, streaming during those times. So I just made that a consistent thing. I did weekend streams, and then eventually evolved into, it eventually evolved into like night streams as well during the weekdays, because I felt like, I was streaming enough. And yeah, honestly, I don't know how I started blowing up recently. It's kind of surreal, because I wasn't even doing it for like the viewers. I was just like, I mean, it's nice to have viewers, right? But I was mainly just doing it because, like, I can't play ladder if I'm not streaming. So.
Hey, dude, I appreciate that. And I think I've noticed that when I'm playing on stream, I'm definitely like more locked in, more focused. And it's easy to like play like kind of like willy-nilly when you're not on stream and you're just, playing while you're doing something else. And like that seems like a recipe for playing poorly, then getting tilted and then just being so I hear you. I also, dude, you're good as fuck. You are constantly maintaining a very high rank. How's it been like getting good at the game? Like when do you notice yourself getting so consistent?
So I feel like ever since Sword and Shield, ever since I actually pivoted to Trick Room, actually, I feel like I've been doing super consistent. And this was, I started playing Trick Room, I think back in April of 2021 for Sword and Shield. Back then it was a single restricted format, and I really started enjoying playing Calyrex Ice Rider. I feel like ever since then, like I've been fairly consistent. Like, I'm usually at least in the three digits on ladder. I think it's pretty rare now if I'm in the four digits. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I think at least for Scarlet and Violet, even ever since like Regulation A, which was from, I think, December to January of last year, I've been pretty consistent. I've been running like basically the same team since forever. I've been running Psy Spam, just different variations as like each regulation evolves. And yeah, I just like, and yeah, I just like team build all by myself. I don't really have any advice from anybody. I've never really been in a team building group, so all the ideas I come up with, they all just come from my head. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just, just perfecting a craft, or like how does Bruce Lee say it? Like perfecting the same kick like 1,000 times,
Yeah,
right?
10,000.
That's
Yeah.
basically how it is with me in Trick Room. So.
That's what's up, dude. That's what's up. I've been I've definitely thought about you as one of those folks, which I've done a little challenge for myself this last month, and it was like I'm playing 100 games with the team before I would change to the team another team at all. And I feel myself like it was a rough first 30 games, but these last 10, 20 games have felt like, okay, I know this team a good deal. It's not mastered by any means, but it's a balanced team that requires me to, use a lot of skills and whatnot. And it's really helped me like grow as a player, just committing to a thing, like no matter what, and making adjustments here and there as the meta evolves. You've definitely been someone who I've like watched do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And it's like, wait, maybe there's something to that,
Yes.
Totally, dude. And also, do you compete at regionals and whatnot? I don't know if I've ever like seen you talk about it or not. Have you been hitting some?
So the only regional I've ever gone to was one during the Sword and Shield era. It took place in Secaucus, New Jersey. It was the only it was like the only one that I could like drive to. Like it was like probably like less than an hour and a half drive for me. I got washed pretty badly. In that regional, and I just like wasn't prepared and not I guess I'm not making excuses, like I just played bad altogether. No, I just didn't do well in it. And I don't know, something was just like going on with me at that time, so my head wasn't really in it anyway. But no, I haven't gone to a regional since then. Mainly because of the cost and
For
because
sure.
I have a child now.
Whole family now. Yeah.
But I am planning to go to NAIC.
Hell
Whether
yeah,
I do well
man.
there or not, we'll see, but I'm mainly just going there to, hang with people. So,
Definitely. That's what's up, man. It's currently the plan to be there. Even if I somehow don't get a ticket to go, I'm coming to the damn thing, you know what I mean? And I want to be in that energy too. Excited that you're going. You're so good. You're so good. Gotta get it to a regional soon, hopefully. And NAIC sounds like the place, man. Shifting gears. In your opinion, there's the big question of the podcast. In your opinion, without any judgment or anything, what do you think, just from what you've learned in life, what a man is supposed to be?
Yeah, sure. So that's a tough one. I've actually never been asked this before, but I think now currently, right, my perspective of what a man should be is, well, just being able to, well, because I'm a father, so this is, going to be my answer. But for me right now, right, I think, just a man is just, someone who, is just there for his family, for his wife or, partner, for his children. That's how I feel that, I am. Right now I work a full-time job. I work almost like 45 hours a week. Well, actually like a little over 40, but I work full-time. I get off work, I help my wife cook, I help her clean, help her take care of the baby. And then, in my spare time, that's, when I, stream. But, I always put my family, my wife, my child before myself. I always make sure that they're taken care of before, I do anything myself. But yeah, I think just, especially if you're, a dad, if you're a family man, just, putting your wife and your children, before yourself. If I wasn't a father, I'm honestly not sure what my answer would be in that regard. But because I am a father, that's sort of my mentality, and I think that's just a thing that comes to the forefront of my mind, when asked, what a man should be. So,
Yeah, dude. That's beautiful. And it's you're definitely not the first man who, gets that kind of center direction around, what it means for him to be a man when he becomes a father. I think the answer becomes obvious when or even when you just, if it's stopped at the wife before you become a father. I think when you're like a single man, the answer is a little bit less obvious, but once you have those people to help take care of and show up for, it becomes a bit more clear. And you said to be there for them, and a lot of the time we use the word presence, and it sounds like you are very much physically present and they are on your mind almost every time we've connected, and it's been like, hey man, do you want to chat here, chat there? It's often you mention that you've got these commitments with your wife and family, and it's like they are on top of your mind, so you're present with them mentally and also emotionally. I think a lot of guys, and maybe not a lot of guys, I've been really impressed with the Pokemon community to not be like that. I've not noticed them be really attached to like traditional, values for what a guy's supposed to be. And I think we're learning in the world that, there's a lot more flexibility than what we've had kind of shoved at us. But a lot of guys might hear cleaning and cooking, taking care of the baby, and be like, oh no, that's the woman's job. And I definitely disagree with that. I think that's everybody's job. And as a father, like there's so much, that both the wife and your kid must get from you from being there for all of that. What do you think?
I actually wanted to touch on that. I completely agree. Just like eliminating traditional gender roles, like the mom just, having to sit home, take care of the baby, cook and clean. I didn't realize this until, I became a father, but, my wife, right? She did work. Now she's a full-time stay-at-home mom. Like, I didn't realize how much work went into being a stay-at-home mom. Like, you would think, like, hey, right? Like, my wife, she, just gets to stay at home. She doesn't have to work. All she has to do is just look over, the baby. But it's a lot. And if anything, I'd say it's probably even more than, like, me working my full-time job, 8 hours or more a day. Right. It's like a whole human being that you have to take care of, a human being that can't physically take care of themselves, right? And who's, constantly crying, who's, maybe constantly, well, not constantly upset, but, who's very needy. So, like, even though I work more than 8 hours a day, 5 times a week, right? I don't use that as an excuse to say to my wife, like, hey, like, listen, I'm bringing in all the bread. I'm the one who's, keeping our finances afloat. I need you to cook. I need you to clean. I need you to continue watching the baby. No, it's not. That's absolutely not fair to her. Like, I never went in. I never, went into this with the mindset of like, hey, that's how it's gonna be, right? But like, just, experiencing it, firsthand. I heavily realized, like, being a stay-at-home mom is, it's a lot of work. Like, probably more work than, a paying job. I absolutely contribute my fair share. I wash the dishes. Sometimes I'm the one who cooks dinner and I clean the, pots and pans. Every week I clean the bathrooms as well. So,
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. You're doing your part, taking care of the house and thinking about your family and your kid and your wife and the house. Like that's all one big like ecosystem that, it's not 9 to 5. After five, you keep going, and that is, respecting each other and making it a team effort makes it really balanced. And I feel imagine supportive. Another point that you brought up for me is like before you had that, like not being sure what that answer would be. And I think a lot of guys struggle with that, which is good. Like I prefer like there being maybe not confusion, but like at least space to like not just jump into all the classic like men do this, men do that, like have some inquiry around it. I think that like a lot of what you do for your family like can be things that a single man does for himself, like really being responsible with his space, with his money, with his time, devoting that to his purpose and really actually taking care of himself. And I think there's a lot of confusion about how to take care of yourself. What do you think about that?
Before I had met my wife, I didn't really have any direction, and I never even really thought of, like, what does it mean to, like, be a man, or like what my purpose was, right? Like, I was just, before my wife, my only other relationship, it ended back in 2012, so over 12 years ago,
Took some
right?
time.
And it was I wasn't even 20 years old yet. I was still in my teens. That relationship ended. I hadn't really, tried for a relationship since then. I didn't really have any purpose. I was just, on my own, just working, coming home, playing games. I even like with like my money, I like wasn't really too responsible with it either, because I was like living with my parents up until a few years ago when I bought this house. So I didn't pay rent or anything, so I just spent my money on whatever. Again, it's just like, just like directionless. But I mean, I think I will say, like, before I had like met my wife, the only thing I could go off of, like, the only thing I went by as to like, like what does it mean to like be a man or like, anything like that, was just like what other people were like saying on like, like social, on like social media, and on these like like bait posts.
Totally.
And yeah, I honestly, like, I'm ashamed to say that like part of me like kind like believed it at times, because like, again, like, I didn't really like have any like experience like, with people just like in general. So like, when like, people would like make posts like, oh, like, what, like, women will only respect a man if he does this or that, or, like, women only like men who, are, have these like, attributes or whatever. Like, part of me like kind of believed it. Not to say that, I had any like misogynistic views. Like, I've never been like misogynistic. It's just like, like when like someone says like, oh, like, like women only like, men who make like, six figures, or, something like that, right? Like, part of me would be like, oh, like, yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe that's why I don't have a girlfriend, right? Or maybe
That's
that's why no
funny.
girls want to date me. But yeah.
And again, yeah, and that's definitely, again, attached to those traditional beliefs. And it's even if you like actively even like, I don't think that's true, like even seeing that shit enough, like it's makes you think shit about yourself that may not be the
Yep.
most positive. Totally. I get it. So I guess this is a good segue. Even when you're believing those things, or even outside of believing those things, did you ever have any moments where you felt like I am not living up to whatever standard of being a man? I'm not living up to society, what they say I should be doing, et cetera. Did you have any like, times where you were really feeling that way?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are probably two instances where I can think of that. So one was probably like, many years before quarantine, well, actually not many years, but like maybe like several years before quarantine, right? Like, there were a lot of people, my age, who, after high school, right, they went out, they got places on their own. I'd go to work, and everyone would be like, oh, I moved from this state and I got myself an apartment, right? Like, I'm living on my own. And meanwhile, I was still living with my parents. So like, part of me felt like kind of like ashamed of that, because, a lot of, I think a lot of American culture, they think, once you're 18, you should be independent, you should be able to fend for yourself, you shouldn't have mommy and daddy taking care of you. Whereas in Asian cultures, like, where my family's from, well, my family's from China, right? But like in Chinese culture, and I think in a lot of Asian cultures, Asian parents are very accommodating to their children. Like, even once they become adults, like, you can still live with them, and that's normal over in Asia. But here in America, I think there's like a stigma where if you're still living with mommy and daddy, once you graduate high school, you're kind of like looked at as like a leech or like a freeloader. So part of me sort of like felt like that. I sort of thought like less of myself, because of that. But I mean, obviously now in hindsight, I think to myself, well, thank God I lived with my parents for all those years, because if I hadn't, then by the time I had met my wife, we wouldn't have been able to afford this house,
Absolutely. Look at that.
So yeah, I made the fiscally responsible decision instead of like forcing it and going, hey, yeah, because I'm an adult now, I have to go and buy an overpriced apartment in New York City and, share it with some unknown roommates who may or may not be shitty people themselves.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, but like, here I am, I'm not in debt. I was able to, I was able to afford this house. I was able to save up, and here I am now. But that's yeah, that's one immediate instance that I could think of.
That's enormous. That's a huge one. That's a huge one. Do you have a second one that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I'd say
You don't have
the
to if you don't
second.
want
Yeah,
to.
no, I actually do want to share it. I'd say the second one is, I think this, I don't know why this like hit me specifically during COVID, during lockdown. Maybe just like, just being like cooped up indoors, 24, like all the time, is probably like affected me in some way, even though it was weird because like I'm a homebody anyway. Yeah, during quarantine, I don't know why it hit me really hard that, I was 28 years old, when quarantine started. I had only been in one relationship, and that was like back before I was even 20 years old. And I was like still single, and I was like purposeless, and I had like no direction in life. All my friends, they had, girlfriends, or they were like going on dates. And, like for me personally, like I wasn't, not for a lack of trying. I think part of it was, I was like on dating apps like at the time, right? And I was actively trying to like, find like, I was actually, trying to find like a partner. But I just wasn't having luck. So I think that just like the failure of, being able to, find someone, sort of hit my self-esteem. And then especially like during like quarantine, it just I think it just got like worse from there. So I think during that time, it I definitely I guess it like affected my feeling of like, how I am like as a man. Like I was just thinking like, am I like undesirable? Does like nobody like me? And also not only that, but again, like I was 28, right? I wasn't getting any younger, so I was just thinking like maybe I did this like too late. Like maybe I should have like gotten into this like, like many years ago while I was still younger. But eventually I found my wife at the end of the year. And yeah, everything changed from there. So
Definitely. Can I
yeah.
ask, how did you eventually meet your wife? Was it on the apps?
It was on an app. It was
Was on.
it was on Tinder. It was during December of 2020. I think she actually swiped on me, and then
Nice.
I swiped back on her. Once I found her, because I guess like that's what you got to do on dating apps. I don't know if this is the same
Totally.
thing. Yeah, I don't know if it's the same thing now, but at least when I used dating apps, like if someone swipes on you on Tinder, you have to like keep scrolling until you find that person, and then you have to like hope you have to hope that you swipe right on the right person, and that you didn't accidentally archive them. But
Absolutely.
yeah, that's but that's what happened. We found each other, and then we just started talking. We hit it off from there, and I mean, we clicked, and we met 3 months after we matched with each other, and we dated a week, no, sorry, a month after our first date. And then, yeah, I mean, everything moved quickly for us. Like we within the same year, like August, the same year that we met, we got this house. And then a year after our first date, we got married. And then October of the year that we got married, we had our son.
That's fucking
So
awesome,
everything,
dude.
yeah, everything moved really quickly for us.
Yeah, dude, I completely support all that. I know a lot of people will
Thank
have
you.
shit to say about it, and I'm
Oh,
just
yeah.
like, who gives a fuck? Like
Yeah.
legit, like I think there it can totally be, from an outside perspective, like if you have people close to you and they're like, dude, you need to chill out. Like it's like maybe think about it, but honestly, sometimes you legit just know, and I
Yeah.
can totally vibe with that. Can I ask, when you were dating, do you think there was anything different in like just your approach when you finally came across your wife, or do you think it just the time ended up happening to be right and you guys started to chat and you clicked? Do you think there was anything different than what you were doing before?
I guess I will say like in the months before I had like met her, I was still struggling really badly with like, confidence issues because, I was anxious to meet her, right? And we weren't officially dating, so I was like constantly afraid like what if she starts like talking to some other dude who, maybe she clicks with better. So I was still going through a lot of anxiety and self-confidence issues before I had met her. But when I finally did meet her, I was extremely happy. And I feel like she was like finally able to like get like a full grasp of like who I am as like a person after like meeting me in person. And we just started like seeing each other more and more in person. Like we started seeing each other almost like every week after that. I'd say once I met her in person, the dynamic definitely changed for the better. Not that it was bad before I had met her in person, but like just being able to like, just being able to like have like met someone like physically, it is definitely a lot different than just like talking over text.
Absolutely.
And I was just like excited to like meet her like well, I was excited to see her like every weekend. And you know, a lot of my self-confidence issues like went away. Like I feel like she started liking me better, too, like once we finally met. Yeah, which is like, you know, like understandable. Like for me, I think you know, I caught like strong feelings like really, really early because, you know, again, I hadn't been in a relationship in like almost a decade. Whereas her, I think she was like a little more guarded, which I think is what many people would be, you know, in those situations. Whereas me, like I was just like completely off guard and I was just like, yeah, like I just want to date you, you know.
Yeah, totally. I think there, you, man, no, you're saying some real good shit. I love that last part because it's just like it's that knowing, you know. And I think for anyone, I'm very kind of spiritual in a universe, right? The universe is the source, right, kind of way. And just know that being able to show up in a energy where it's like I know I want you. I think that does a lot for somebody. You know, like just showing up and letting her know I want you. Is like just very, it's confident, it's powerful, magnetic. It sounds like you did that, man. And these two shares that you have very connected. And just to circle back to the staying at home thing, I too stayed at home until I was about 28. And because of that, it allowed me to chase my like dream of being a professional wrestler. You know, I did that for 7 years. I was able to freely travel, pay for seminars, pay for gear, all these things, because I'd made that decision to stay home. And it made me feel ways about myself all the time. But you know what? Also, for me personally, it didn't affect my dating because I think, you know, they can tell when someone's like really committed to something and passionate about something. And that's like, you know, it's different than staying home and just fucking bullshitting like with your life, you know what I mean? Which you did, stayed home, you were able to save money to actually pay for a house. That is extremely beneficial. Wow, like what a leg up you gave yourself by like having patience. And like, you know, it makes you feel a way about yourself at the time, but the people judging you, like, you know, can kind of fuck off because look at this thing I actually have. And when I was ready to start this big life with my life partner, like we were ready to do it because I made this decision. I think that's genius, you know. And I think, you know, anyone who has any judgment about it needs to really differentiate. Like, what are you doing if you're staying at home? Are you like doing what you need to do to build a life anyway on the side? Hell yeah. If you're just bullshitting and like literally have no idea what you want to do, where you want to go, just smoking weed all goddamn day, then that's something to maybe reassess, you know?
Absolutely,
And I don't think you fall under that category at all, man. I think you did a really great job there.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course. And you've touched on this last bit a little bit, but just the mental health, emotional health journey. You referenced some anxiety, but maybe there's anything else you might want to share. Just in terms of mental emotional health, what kind of struggles have you experienced, and maybe a little bit about how you've managed or overcame those struggles?
Could it be from like any like time
Yeah,
period in
any
my
time
life? Okay.
period.
Yeah, sure. So one thing, I don't know if many people know this about me, but I actually struggled with OCD most of my life. I still have it to some extent. Actually, no, I'd say I still have it. But I struggled with OCD most of my life. And I'm not talking about, you know, making sure the light is off, making sure that you lock the door, making sure you turned off the stove or, you know, anything like that. Like I've struggled with some, you know, pretty serious thoughts with OCD. So like to give you an example, back when I was like 13, I don't know what triggered this. I remember I would have like obsessive thoughts generated by my OCD of like performing like potentially dangerous stunts, right? So I was like, I had these like thoughts of like, what would happen if I like take a quarter and I just like swallow it? Like, would I actually be able to like pass it down my throat or am I gonna like choke to death? Right. And then I remember like there were some times where I actually like, you know, it's crazy, but like I swallowed coins to like see if I would like choke or not. Right. And that's it's dangerous. Well, I mean, I didn't choke, but you know, it's don't obviously don't swallow coins. Don't swallow anything that's inedible. But I actually did stuff like that, right? And then I would have like thoughts of like, hey, like what would happen if I like, you know, like turned on like a lighter and I like put like my finger over the flame. Am I gonna like set myself on fire? I would like constantly have like thoughts like these. And you know, it's a really scary thing to have. You know, I thought like, am I suicidal? I mean, I don't think I wasn't suicidal. It was just, you know, my disorder, sort of like putting those thoughts in my head, and then like I get like tortured by them. Like it's really weird because with OCD, like it's like if someone else listens to me like say this, they'd be like, just don't do it. Like, and like, obviously I had the intelligence to know like, hey, like obviously don't do these things. Like, you can hurt yourself, but my OCD was more like you have to do it. You have to know what's going to happen. And that's something that plagued me for many years. And then, there was another one that really haunted me for a long time. I had a OCD over whether or not I like committed like hit and runs every time I was like driving a car. Like I was thinking like, did I like accidentally like hit somebody while I was driving? Did I accidentally like nick somebody's car? And like, are police gonna like show up at my door like out of nowhere and like arrest me or serve me like a court order? And then there was like a period in my life where I had OCD of, and this is really random, but of contracting HIV. Not like I didn't do anything that put me at risk, but I would have like random thoughts of like, hey, like what if I just like got HIV or like whatever. And it was super irrational. I remember I would for many years, sometimes I still do this. I'd like look at the ground while I'm walking because for some reason, in my head, because of my OCD, I would think there's got to be like some junkie who tossed out some, improperly discarded hypodermic needles, and then I'm gonna step on one, and then I'm gonna contract HIV. Now, granted, there were a few times where I did see some improperly discarded hypodermic needles, like on the sidewalk while I was walking. It didn't happen a lot. It probably happened like maybe like twice or three times in my life. But yeah, like one time I encountered that, and I was like shaking, and like I was just like a huge mess, like thinking like, did I step on that? Like I don't remember if I stepped on that or not. Like I can't recall. Like I didn't, but that's the disorder talking. And yeah, that really affected my mental health for quite a long time. And to some extent, sometimes like the OCD still like operates in that fashion. It's not quite as bad now. I can mostly manage it, but sometimes it does happen,
Have you so and I and man, want to acknowledge that is tough. It's really hard. And I never really thought about OCD in terms of like the origin being obsessive thoughts. Like the way that I've at least experienced it in my life, I actually dated a woman over the summer that had it, and it made it pretty difficult. And it's like things need to be this way, and if they're not this way, bad stuff. Like that is like kind of like if it's not this way, then she goes on this like pattern of thinking or whatever. At least that's how I've thought about it. And really not really thought so much about the obsessive thoughts themselves. And I'm like, man, that sounds really hard to deal with. Like, it's like you're dealing with this loop and you need to do something about it, or maybe you don't need to do something about it. But I can imagine when I've been in like a light thought pattern that, people get even without a disorder, right? That sometimes it's hard to get off. So with the disorder pulling you into it, it sounds really hard. So how did you learn to manage that? Like, does it not affect you so much because of just your experience with it? Is there other techniques you have that to get off of those like out of the thought patterns? Like what you got going there?
Yes, yeah, so I saw a therapist for quite some time, like on and off from like 2006 to like 2014. It was the same guy. It was back in New York. And one technique that he would tell me to impl well have me employ is basically just like saying like the thought like out loud, and then just like sort of like I guess like accepting it, even if it's not true. Right. So like, for example, with the HIV thing, right, he would say like, okay, so, say out loud, so what if I have HIV, right? I'm not playing this what if game, because OCD is basically just a what if game. It's all just like, what if, like, this happened, like, did this happen, right? It's all a what if game. It's all uncertainty. So I guess the idea by like saying that out loud, right? Like, even though obviously I don't have HIV, by saying like, so what if I have it, I'm not playing this game. I guess you're like taking power away from the thought, right? You're just letting the unsettledness, sorry, the, you're just letting I guess like the uncertainty be there. You're letting it, you're taking power away from it. You're not indulging in the
Yeah.
thought. So that was one technique. And then also, it's not going to work every single time, right? Like there's just so many times that you can actually like say it. But I think another thing was just, I guess, just learning to live with it because it never really goes away. Sometimes I'll still get like spikes with like OCD. So it never really goes away, but I think just like keeping myself occupied, right? And I think like event, especially like just like having like met my wife, like my main thoughts just became like, just like, starting a future with her, starting a family with her, just like having gotten into a relationship and then just like making life changes. I think that helped a lot as
Yeah.
well. But
More thoughts, like more like thoughts to put in place of the other thoughts too. I think might there might be something to that. That's awesome, Topo. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely.
So all in all, kind of wrapping up here, what role do you think Pokemon has played in your happiness? Like, what about Pokemon has it made you happy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say it's actually played a huge role in my happiness. For I think multiple reasons, and some of them I'm sort of just like a reaching, honestly. But some of them, for example, right? Like I think Pokemon is what got me to overall stop indulging so much in League of Legends. Not that I dislike League of Legends, but that used to be like all that I played, and honestly, I was kind of miserable playing it. The game is extremely, extremely rage-inducing. And I remember I used to be pretty toxic even to like my friends and like Discord comms when I was like playing it. And also just like having played Pokemon and just being able to like do well on ladder, right? It gave me the confidence to like want to stream it on Twitch. And I ended up, stopping sh stop I ended up stop sh stopping streaming League of Legends and just streaming exclusively Pokemon VGC. And also like with VGC, like I feel I'm definitely a lot more connected to the community, especially since it's like smaller. I've met a lot of great online friends. Well, I've made a lot of great online friends through Pokemon VGC. And when I started dating my wife, I was playing and streaming Pokemon VGC. So that didn't
That's
happen when I
awesome.
would yeah, that didn't happen when I was playing and streaming League of Legends, but it happened when I was playing and streaming VGC. And my wife is fully supportive of my hobby, and also just the growth that I've experienced on Twitch. It's because of VGC, right? Like, and this never would have happened if I played League of Legends. Like, no one's gonna be, watching me play League of Legends when they could like watch someone like, Tyler One or some like pro in the LCS. But with VGC, apparently there's plenty of people who want to watch me. So, that definitely makes me happy. It makes me wanna, continue streaming on Twitch. Like, if it wasn't for VGC, I wouldn't be streaming quite as much on Twitch. Like, I'd probably be streaming like once in a blue moon. But here I am with the game I love. I have a great community. So no, it's I'd say VG like Pokemon definitely changed my life, even if in indirect ways, such as like me meeting my wife. But I like to somehow contribute that to Pokemon.
Yeah, dude, it's beautiful. It's why that I, it's the reason why I thought that the Pokemon community would be a great place to really have these kind of conversations. I feel like Pokemon gamers are just a little bit different than other gamers in my experience so far. Just a wide range of experiences, and like I don't know, there's something about like growing up with a game that's like all based on being part cute but also part badass. I don't know. There's just something like a warmth that stays within you, that an openness that like is exists within you. I think all the themes of friendship like maybe like really sink down inside of us or something from coming up with this game. But I can definitely say that I've gotten a lot of the same stuff from the community, especially meeting guys like you and whatnot. And definitely want to show a lot of love to you for coming by my stream, because one day I remember watching yours being like, oh man, this guy's figured it all out, like super cool. I can't wait to be there one day. And one day you're there and showing me some love and kind of helping me become a Pokebro alongside you. So I just want to send some appreciation your way for that.
Absolutely. I just want to say, the Pokebro thing, I think that's honestly all you. If I helped in some way, you're welcome. But yeah, I think that was, I think that was all you,
I
man, because
appreciate it, man.
you're a great person, so you totally deserve it.
I appreciate it, man. There's something about, being connected with you and then other Poke Bros, like that kind of thing. It's just like seeing, oh, he thinks he's vibes. He thinks he's vibes. Maybe he should, maybe he is vibes. You know what I mean? Awesome, dude. I appreciate that. Last couple questions. What are you most excited for next in the Pokemon world? And then if you knew there was someone out there struggling, what might you say to them to help them get through the day?
Yeah, so I guess next in the Pokemon world, I guess it's not necessarily VGC related, but I'm just hoping that maybe they announce a new console soon that replaces a Switch. And they announce that hopefully in the new generation of Pokemon games that they're going to be migrating over to said new console,
Oh
and
yeah.
hopefully it's backwards compatible with the current Switch games.
Ooh.
And yeah, looking forward to NAIC as well. Can't wait for that. Wife is coming with me, so
Oh yeah.
yeah, she gets to meet VGC friends, and I get to meet the VGC friends for the first time too. And then for people who I think are just struggling, I think I'm just gonna say, like, it's gonna get better, right? Like, I've come from pretty low places, right? Like, like during like quarantine, for example, I think I felt really, really, really low. Like some days I would just think, like, why am I even existing? Like I wasn't suicidal or anything. It was just like, I was just like saying that like to myself, right? And I think if me, I of all people could like find happiness, if I can find love, if I can find a direction in life, I think anyone can, right? Like I
Absolutely.
genuinely thought like I'd just be like alone and completely directionless for the rest of my life. Like that was literally my mentality, from like the ages of like probably what, like 20 to like 28. I literally thought I was just gonna like die alone, and I literally wouldn't accomplish anything ever. But I was able to pull myself out of that funk, and if I can do it, literally anyone can. So,
Beautiful, beautiful. That's a great message, man. It sounded like you were struggling. You got some help also, and you just kept going. And I think that is just such a big thing. Keep going, find help, ask for help, know that people want to help you. But most importantly, it is going to get better. Get that next foot in front of the other, and know that good outcomes are there if you're working for them.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Topo, dude, I really appreciate you being on. Really, really appreciate you being on, and looking forward to conversing more with you in the future, brother.
Absolutely. Same to you.
All right, have
Thank
a
you.
good one.
You too.
And that was our guy Topo Wapo. I had a real fun time with that conversation. I love talking to that guy. He feels like just super grounded, super even. But on stream, he's definitely like pretty metal. He's upside down. One of the things is like, Topo, show us your pants. Like, if you have enough China points, I love it. I love it. And love a good love story. The way he met his wife, them connecting, Pokemon having a role in that. That is the stuff that I am here for. So hopefully you are here for it as well. Again, crew, appreciate you for joining me this week. If you enjoyed the episode, think about if you have any young trainers in your life. And you want them to get some of this good stuff, or just generally move in the direction of wellness. I'm now doing classes on OutSchool. My first one is called Meditation for Pokemon Trainers. So learning how to meditate overall, but using it in the context of going into a battle where you want to enter settled or settle back down after an exciting one or a tough loss or anything like that. Stuff that we can use as adults as well, but trying to pass on these lessons to the little ones. So if you got any of those little ones in your life, look out for that OutSchool link. It'll be somewhere in my links, and you can check out a class with me, Meditation for Pokemon Trainers. Anyway, guys, I'm gonna get out of here. Hope you have a great rest of your day wherever you are listening from, and we will talk soon.